Hi, it's Imogen here. Just a quick note for today's episode. We lost Claire for the last 20 minutes of recording of this, so I ended up having to pick up her audio through Brandon's feed, which means that when you hear Claire for the last 20 minutes, she doesn't sound as absolutely perfect and beautiful as she normally does. You can still understand her, though, and we didn't want to cut the end of the episode because it had some good stuff and a fight. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Apologies for the quality on that last 20 minutes. Have fun. Okay. Hi, and welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
Yeah, and we're doing a run on recording because there's an up in the air thing going on with me where I may well be off to Europe in a couple of days.
She's abandoning us.
Yeah, you'll have to change your Discord name for a little while.
To?
European Bye.
Ah, yeah. Or Jet Setting. Name. Oh, jet setting by.
Yeah. Jet setting by. There we go.
Glamorous by. Of course, I was already the most glamorous.
Oh, of course.
Of course. That's just how it goes. You can't be glamorous in Hawaii. It just doesn't work that way. We're sweating too much.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I'm in the Midwest.
Okay, Claire, can you say one whole sentence for me?
I'm going to say one whole sentence for you. There you go.
I think you're okay. You sounded a bit low though. I was worried we'd lost you to the space-time continuum.
Yeah,
I tried to reset it today before, and so I'm hoping that still works. I don't know. It's worked so far.
No, yeah, I think you just sound a bit deep and mysterious today from yeah, other reasons. I'm sure.
She sounds like she just woke up recently.
Yeah.
Today's topic is, oh, is that what we're doing? We're fighting?
Is that what we're gonna do? Are we gonna fight?
Well, we'll see. No spoilers.
I have suspicions.
Yeah. I thought I would start with a call for questions as we end with a call for questions, because otherwise you're gonna get more of this, what you hear today.
I'll start making up questions to ask. I've actually got a few that I've been meaning to ask us. So,
we're going
to
start sending questions to ourselves and you'll never know. with clever anonymous names.
You know what? I'm going to confess something here right now. I have done it a couple of times.
What?
Sent them anonymous questions. And you guys haven't noticed. So
I've done it before, but I think only Brandon knew.
Yeah, I mean, you told me before you did it. Oh my god, am I the only one here who hasn't?
It sounds like it, unless you're being really, really cagey and covering it up and not saying that you've...
No, but I do sometimes, like, throw in my own thoughts and questions into the notes while I'm writing them, so whatever.
You have more power than we do with regards to what we talk about, so...
The funny thing is, you could be the scariest one of us if you actually did fix things in post.
But I can't. In order to edit you together to stay weird stuff, it would take so much more effort than I already put into it. Like you're going to take bits and pieces from you from one section and then put it into another section. Do you know how much like cutting and pasting in Audacity I'd have to do to make that work? It would just be like I put in enough effort, I think, to make our podcast sound entertaining, and I cut out the really boring bits, and I make sure that we don't have, you know, interruptions from dogs or people at my door, but
unless it's good comedic effect,
yes. But I'm not gonna fucking remix your voices to say, you know, Trump is the best, because
but now we've got an audio clip of you saying it. Dang it! Now we need to get our hands on the recording.
Oh boy! Input my computer when I go away.
As if any of us are, you know, proactive enough to actually try to do anything.
Right? We're like, oh yeah, that's an evil thing I could do. Like, the world is safe from us because we're not, like...
Too dumb,
is it? Like, we're very Garfield, you know, what if war was declared and nobody showed up?
Like... Oh, I want to go do this, but it's also nap time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I've already done two things today, and that's one more than my average. I'm not doing any more.
oh my gosh, I did so much today. Like, the reason I took a nap so early is because I got up so early. I was awake at 7. And I know that's not, like, unusual, but it's Sunday. And I got up and I, like, yeah. I tidied, like, the whole living room. I vacuumed. I ran the robot. I tidied up the Davenport. Blankets have been washed. Like, things have been cleaned and decluttered and put away. I don't even know what's going on. So...
I had a really weirdly energetic morning this morning too. I got up and, excuse me, did a lot of things that could be seen as, oh, you know what? I know why. It's because I'm stressed out and I'm doing things to stop myself from feeling stressed out, which is just, I mean, I don't know how people live like this. How would you live like this when you've got nothing? No. No, I don't like being stressed out. I much rather prefer to be lazy. Thank you very much. So.
You know, Closet in Canada did actually write us and say, no, seriously, though, what sauces did you make? And I don't even know how to approach this question because I could probably fill the whole hour with it.
So you're just making lots of sauces at home.
Yeah.
You made a green sauce. Did we talk about that last week? I haven't edited that one yet, so I don't know.
I don't remember.
No, I don't think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this green sauce that it's kind of like guacamole, but it's got some extra things in it. And now I can't remember what the extra things were that make
all
it.
I know is one of the things is cilantro, because I was like, eh.
Well, I mean, some human beings put cilantro in their guacamole anyway because they have good taste.
I'm sorry, I've got the tragic genie. They got tragic genes.
Oh, and yeah, it's like guacamole, but not. And it worked out really well for a lot of things. Like, I was using it as a dip for tortilla chips, and we put it on grilled chicken. And I mean, I could probably like post these links.
Well, they should have something. A recipe section.
No, they do.
A recipe section on Patreon so you can see what you make.
Yeah. And then I learned a new thing this week called Romesco sauce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'd never made one before. And I made
What's
one.
What's in Romesco sauce?
Oh, it's like, it's almost like a pesto made with red peppers. So.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of a red pesto.
Yeah, it's like a red pesto, and then this one had me put a bunch of almonds in it, and it was really good. Like, I mixed it up with some of the leftover grilled chicken and tossed it in some pasta, and it was really good. Like, the whole family was like, make this again. Like, done. But there's also leftovers in the fridge, and nobody's eaten them, so.
I've got to we've discussed this before, but food is such a fucking nightmare in this house because my son won't eat anything. But yeah, I've got to start cooking things that aren't just meat and free veg when the HelloFresh people haven't come. They're just like, oh, I'll put a protein and a vegetable together and that'll be dinner. That's basically how it goes.
That's basically, I haven't got a recipe. That's basically how it goes here. Like, I make a starch, a protein, and then I buy a salad mix from the store.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, because that's something that my husband didn't really get when we first started living together, was that he didn't understand that you needed to have a starch, a red vegetable, and a green vegetable.
Wait, what? When you were what's a red vegetable?
Whenever I do, like, say, steak and veggies, it's steak, broccoli, carrot, potato, yeah? So you've got the red vegetable, which is the carrot. You've got the broccoli, which is the green leafy, and then you've got the potato, which is the starch. Yeah.
Interesting. Like, you have we've talked about this before. You have like these rules for plate setting. And
yeah.
And they're not what I was raised with. I don't know. I can't speak for Claire.
Yeah, it was made for her. Sorry, speech is having problem. My mum would say you need three vegetables and they need to be three different types of vegetables. You can't have you know, three different types of beans or three different types of potato, which is, it's hilarious actually, because I did school dinners in England for a year when I was there. And their version of three vegetables was mashed potato, chips, and boiled potato.
Well, I mean, that sounds legit to me.
I'm not, No, it's not. You need three different types of vegetables.
Hey, if I get if I get a vegetable on the plate, I'm happy with myself. Like, and that's not even fair because I use a lot of vegetables and I also make a salad almost every day.
Yeah, no, you post pictures of Brandon posts pictures of the meals and they always look.
Yeah, they're very legit. Foods. Mine are like, here's some chicken and a veggie, so I'll have like some broccoli and some chicken or something.
Well, I do cheat and buy the salads pre-made, so
I think pre-made salads are a godsend because if I keep salad veggies in the fridge, especially in a hot way in hot climates, they just go off so quick.
Yeah, they go bad before you can use them, and like the things that you're not supposed to refrigerate here, like tomatoes, I have to refrigerate, and then they don't taste as good after a certain amount of time when you keep them in the fridge.
Yeah, you couldn't leave a tomato out in my house, even in the middle of winter. Really, I don't think you could leave a tomato out in my house. Not just because of the heat, though, because of fruit flies.
Oh, that too. Oh my god, I hate them. I hate them so much. Baby Bai eats half a banana with her breakfast every single morning, and it's taken us like over a year to get her to wrap the other end of the banana.
Oh, yeah. And you just can't put bananas. You can't put bananas. You can't put bananas in the fridge either, because bananas in the fridge. Yuck.
Yeah, they go gross right away.
Something happens to them. I don't know what.
So we have
what is it with food? Food is weird.
I don't know. We have the nice little hook that you hang them on, and I've discovered I think that the bananas turn faster now that they're on the hook. So I buy them.
Oh yeah.
I buy them a little greener instead of sitting in the basket now that I've got them hanging. But she will cut half the banana off the bunch and leave the rest hanging, and then we had to get her to put like a little piece of foil over the end of it because we were getting fruit flies so bad. And she,
yeah, they're not nice.
She's also been like, I'll slice half a lemon and use half a lemon for your dinner, and then when she's helping clean up, she'll just like leave it on the counter, toss it in the fruit basket, and then we get fruit flies.
Do you want ants?
These are the things
that's how you get ants.
These are the things she needs to learn before she's out on her own. Apparently covered in ants and fruit flies.
Hey, she is doing really well, actually. Actually, she's making dinner tonight. And and it's not a difficult one. She has been, for the last few weeks, making us Sunday brunch. You know, like, and by brunch, we mean just like a meal around the 11, 12-ish time. Yeah, brunchy time. And she's really gotten into that, you know. She's really... She does her own laundry. She's getting really self-sufficient. You know, she can navigate the public bus system. She knows when she needs to go to the little gas station and get her bus pass. And I mean, this child does not have any learned helplessness. It's really nice.
Oh, I have no doubt in that. I'm just saying she'll be covered in bugs if she doesn't learn
definitely
etiquette.
Yeah, she'll be covered in bugs, but I mean, she knows how to scramble eggs.
She'll be safe on the bus, I guess, or anywhere else, because she'll be covered in bugs.
I had a parenting nightmare this morning. Well, not a parenting nightmare, just a vision of the future, actually, because my daughter took her hair out before she went to bed last night, and she's got a lot of hair, and she can't do her own hair yet, really. Like, she can put it up in a ponytail, but she can't do plaits and stuff like that, and I can't even remember where I learned how to do that. Where did you learn how to do that stuff, Brandon? Claire? Like, when
I literally just sat there doing what I do with everything and sat and figured it out myself. Like, braids look like this. Do, 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 do. Okay, that's how you do it.
Yeah, I think mine was like survival.
Yeah, I think I did mine. I think I just sit around in classes and braid each other's hair. I mean, I know that sounds really cliche for sort of thing that the kids do or girls do when they have sleepovers. But I know that my best friend had really long hair and I had really long hair, so we used to braid each other's hair because it was fun. And possibly a little bit gay. But
as all good things are, fun and a little bit gay.
Yeah, fun and a little bit gay. But Miranda doesn't, I shouldn't say Miranda's name. My daughter doesn't know how to do it, and when I had long hair before I chopped it all off the other week, I was trying to get her to learn by doing mine, because I fucking love it when people do my hair, but she refused, so now I guess she's just gonna have to stumble through the dark and not know how to do it.
She'll figure it out. We went through a couple years with Baby Bai where she would get like really nasty rat nests up at the base of her neck from not brushing her hair properly, and then it would take forever to comb it out, and she just would not sit still for me. Like, my husband was the only one that could get her to sit still so that she could brush her hair out. He's way gentler than I am about it. I was like, oh, sit still and let me pull these rats out of your hair. And realizing that my grandmother and mother did the same thing to me, and I hated it. But
yeah, it's so funny when you start doing things that your mum or your parents did, and you're just like, oh, I forgive you now, mum.
Yeah, especially when they're things you hated. You hated them so much, and I'm just like, oh, no.
Yeah, my mum used to make me wash my hair and then just kick me outside. Like, because I always had really, really long hair as a kid, and I was a very indoor person even when I was a kid. Like, the only thing I wanted to do was read books, and so I would just be inside reading all the time. And so she'd make me wash my hair once a week, which was as much as she could convince me to do it. And then she would literally lock me in the backyard. Because we didn't... I don't know why there was some reason.
I'm laughing even more because she treated you like we treat our dogs. We'll give them a bath and then we'll throw them outside so they can dry up
out there. I'm making my mum sound like a child abuser, but she wasn't. She used to just lock me outside and say, sit in the sun, because for some reason it was unhealthy for us to use a hair dryer. Like, we didn't have a hair dryer and we didn't use it. I think she thought it would damage my hair.
They do. They
can. They can. Yeah.
Like, over time, sort of.
So I wasn't allowed to use a hairdryer, and so I had to be kicked out into the sunshine for my hair to dry. And I wasn't allowed to wash my hair before I went to bed, because if I went to bed with a wet head, then I'd get a cold. Like, this is all old wives stuff, which I know she doesn't believe now.
Yeah.
But, like, she's like, no. It's really hilarious.
I found out as I was getting older that, like, a lot of the things that we weren't allowed to do because they would make you sick, like, were just, like, not even wives' tales, I don't know, just stories so that adults could get things done.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole, like, your face will get stuck like that.
The same thing. Like, my grandparents used to tell us, you can't swim for 30 minutes after eating a meal, because they wanted to make sure that they could clean up the dishes in the kitchen before they came down to the lake to watch us swim. And we were like 12 before we figured that out. We're like, wait a second. Like, because we snuck down to the lake and went swimming anyway. We're like, wait a second. We didn't get cramps. Like, you will get cramps and you will die.
You get cramps and you drown. That's what that was. Or you throw up and you drown. And I'm like, yeah, well, okay.
Yeah, sure. That seems legit.
Yeah, whatever. You know, 20 years later, I'm sitting at a swim up bar in fucking in Hamilton Island, drinking cocktails and eating chips in the water, like, literally swimming in the water while I pump myself full of alcohol and junk food. And I'm like, hang on, I don't think that's legitimate.
I think even, like, the grown-ups would do it. Like, they'd go up and have lunch and then come down and get right back in the water. And we'd be like, wait, you didn't wait a half hour. And they're like, oh, it doesn't happen to adults.
It's a child thing. You'll grow out of it, darling.
You'll grow out of it.
Now, you promised us fights. Are we fighting or what? Are we going to have a fight?
Yeah, we seem to be all agreeing delightfully.
Do we want to skip to that? Because I've got, like, two other questions for us. We're just skipping around today.
No. Okay.
Give us whatever.
What are we at for now? We're only at 18 minutes. It's way too soon for us to fight. Okay. All right. Closet in Canada says that she has been shaming her coffee maker lately for not working since she cleaned it. It worked right after she cleaned it, and then today it wouldn't make any coffee. Which leads me to say, why would you clean it? But that's probably just me. But her question is, what appliances are we shaming on a regular basis?
Well, you're supposed to clean it so it doesn't get all gross.
Yeah, I know. We have the tablets and stuff. I actually don't have a coffee maker anymore.
Okay, yeah.
But I do have to clean my grinder once in a while. That's just a waste of coffee beans.
I have an issue with my coffee machine. I've got because I'm fancy. I'm fancy. I have a barista machine, a proper one. For some reason, like... It just, and I have suspicions that it might be people who sat the house while we were away. But for some reason, the buttons don't keep changing. Whereas, like, the little cup comes out as too much coffee and the big cup comes out as too little coffee. And I'm like, how did that happen? When did it happen? What the hell's going on? And I have come to the conclusion that my coffee machine is sentient. And,
it's just I'm fucking just, with you.
I just it's do just whatever fucking with you. It tells me.
It's trying to tell you it's to cut back.
Keep you on your toes.
We use a French press, so the only thing that really goes wrong in the morning is that someone has cleaned the coffee grinder and not put the setting for the grinder back at the proper place, and then we have like fine powder coffee to go in our little mesh press, yeah. And that just
oh, that's hilarious too.
Whooshes through.
Yeah.
No, and that's hilarious though, because if you make it too fine, you can't push the French press down, and it just squirts out the top.
Yeah, basically.
I've had that happen a couple of times before we got the current coffee machine. But coffee machines in general are very temperamental, and I'm wondering if it's because we always use them when we are at our most stressed and cranky. Like before you have your coffee is the most vulnerable time, so coffee machines are always going to be the ones that fuck you over.
Well, when we had a drip machine, I actually used to set the timer on it because. There is nothing better in the world than waking up and going down to the kitchen. You're like, oh my God, the coffee is ready for me. I am here. Oh, yeah. My coffee is ready. I can start the day. But yeah. I mean, if you can't get a coffee maker with a timer, get a teenager, because mine gets up at 7 a.m. and she
yeah, I was
makes
say,
the coffee.
Back before the long gone times, I used to make coffee for Travis. And now I'm like, now he's awake way before I am.
Yeah, we used to all drink a lot of coffee, and now it's pretty much just baby Bi and I, so.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even drink it. I knew Travis would want it, so I'd make it for him, but now it's like, nope, I'm not awake.
Back in those cute early days of marriage.
Yeah, when I also when had a reason to be up earlier.
Yeah, when you start living together and you're like, oh, I'm going to make coffee for you every day.
My darling husband does not drink coffee or tea. What? So I can't do nice things for him.
I don't understand people who do this.
It's just, I mean, he doesn't drink coffee or tea, and he doesn't, what's the other thing he doesn't do? Oh, lots of things. I can't ever comfort him by saying, do you want a cup of tea, dear? You know, that, which as an Australian offends me, basically. we're not quite as bad as, the British in that regard, but there is a very strong subset of Australians who even in 45 degree heat will go, would you like a cup of tea? And it's not a cup of iced tea, it's a cup of hot tea.
Right.
Bag tea with, you know, milk and 3 sugars.
Mm. I think Americans and maybe some Asian countries are the only ones that do iced tea.
I never had
as common as I feel like it should be.
It's not. It's odd in, at least in Korea, because that's where I was, they don't really do, like, they do iced tea, but it's not like you think it is.
Yeah. I'm saying it's not like our iced tea, but I'm saying they still do it.
Yeah.
I know there's a few Asian countries where they have varieties of cold tea, not like iced tea, but.
Yeah, they also, like, serve warm water.
Iced tea was.
Yeah.
So.
Murray was trying to tell me that the reasons why you guys don't drink hot tea is because your kettles boil too slowly.
We drink hot tea. We just also drink cold tea. And I think more people should because it's good.
Cold tea is great. I think it started in the South like as a way to get electrolytes and sugar and stuff into you. Like with the lemon and the sugar and things like that. Yeah. That's why they drink sweet tea. But our kettles do not boil slowly. Excuse me. I use a kettle on the stove to fill my French press every morning.
Yes,
I just don't bother. I fill a mug of water, throw it in the microwave, and throw in a bag of tea.
I think we had an argument about this a couple of episodes ago. I do actually seem to remember having a shouting, well, a Tumblr shouting, screaming match about how that is so insanely bad to do with tea. But the thing is, you put kettles on the stove. We don't. We have electric kettles that you plug in.
Yeah, you can get those here too.
Yeah, you can get them here, and they're not uncommon, especially like here in Asian cultures and stuff, because they came standard in our apartments in Korea. Like every time we rented an apartment, there was an electric kettle in it. So
it's just
I never justified getting one. I'm like, we only make 2 cups of coffee a day, and we've got this kettle, and nobody seems to mind boiling the kettle, so we just don't, you know. Which don't see the reason to get one, and
See, how do you avoid? I mean, maybe it's because you do it a lot, but how do you avoid the tea just boiling over in the microwave? if you're gonna boil water in the tea.
Oh, I don't do that.
Oh, I just set the time. I just set the time. And
but how do you know how long it takes in the microwave?
Because I've made hot water before.
Yeah, it's not like rocket science. Yeah, boiling water in the microwave.
The water has to be, like, for tea to work properly, okay, for tea to work properly, the water actually has to be at a roiling boil.
Oh, I know. Like, you just know how hot to make.
Actually, from my time working for a major coffee company, you shouldn't actually use boiling water to make your tea. It should be hot, but not boiling, because
if I'm making loose tea, I'll boil it because then it's sitting and seeping for longer. But if I'm just making tea from a bag, yeah, I make real hot water, stick the bag in there for a little while, and drink some tea.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Moving on.
Oh, okay. I told you we'd fight today. I told you. What was Gail Simone actually had something, and it's one of the first discourses I didn't really pay attention to, but I should have, because they were talking about she had Brits just coming at her because she was like, oh yeah, well everybody knows that like real tea is Lipton's tea, and that's what they use in the UK. Oh yeah, it was great. You know how she does things where she starts
she's trolling.
She starts a fight just by saying something that she doesn't believe that really isn't true, just to watch people react, and all these Brits like come at her and they're like, oh my god, that's not how you make tea. and I just had to stop myself. I don't know why I stopped myself, but at some point I was like, guys, it's not like you invented making tea.
I know. That always makes me laugh.
I was like, when I was in Asia, but I just stopped. I was like, it's all good.
You know, she's just, I love it when Gail Simone decides to fuck with everyone. She's so good at this. She goes off. She follows me on Twitter, but I think she follows about 6,000 people.
Yeah, she follows me too. Together. She follows me on Tumblr. Like, Gail, why?
Because she's trying to train you up to fight people.
she is definitely like a role model.
Yeah. Yes, she's definitely got the little fight emoji going all the time. I swear to God. And she's like, oh, look, this is a kindred spirit. She's going to do the same thing as me when she grows up. And I'm going to.
I just don't understand.
Right, cheering her on.
There's people that follow me on Tumblr and I just don't understand. But Gail Simone is definitely the weirdest one. I will never understand. I'm glad. It's great. I hope you like Captain America's butt and lots of yelling at
I'm
people.
Sure she does.
I'm sure she's enjoyed all the death threats I've laughed off lately. Weird random life.
I mean, I've tried. I haven't tried consistently enough or hard enough to get people to fight me on Twitter, but no one ever bothers.
I don't,
is it because I'm Australian? I don't know.
I don't even know what people are mad at me for right now.
When you said Ayn Rand was shit.
Oh, that was Twitter.
Yeah, you said Twitter.
Twitter.
You said Twitter.
No, I said Tumblr.
You said Twitter. When you
edit you go
this,
back, it will be in the recording. You said Twitter.
This will be the first thing she edits in post.
She'll be like, I haven't gotten in fights in Tumblr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten in fights on Tumblr either, which is weird to me because if nothing else, Anders is usually a pretty good lightning rod for you're a terrorist or something.
Yeah, that was a good one for a long time, but no
for
one...
a long time, and I've never, even back in the day, ever gotten shit about it.
No, I've never gotten shit about Anders either. I mean, I do remember back when I was a Babely Tumblr. that I used to be afraid of offending people, so I never said what I really thought about certain characters. and I suspect if I had said exactly what I thought about him, then I would have been fought with far more.
See, but I did.
I don't know if you'd have been fought with more
romance, and I said it was bullshit.
Okay, so stop, guys, don't talk over each other. I can't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't edit that in post. One of you has to stop.
Fine, I'll stop. Go ahead.
No, it's no problem. After you. Anyway, so I shame my vacuum daily.
There you go.
There we go. Because it wanders around the house. Like, the old one was really stupid, but we got a new one last week. I think I remember mm-hmm. we're talking about this with you guys.
Yeah.
We got a new a new little robot.
Mini.
Yeah. We got a new little robot, and this one is so much smarter. I watched it yesterday morning zipping around the house, and it's faster too, and it's just zipping around the house, and it got stuck under the dishwasher, and it just kind of like wiggled back and forth and then turned around, got itself out, and went the other way. And I was like, oh baby,
tears of joy.
I know,
child is all grown.
I know. And then 10 minutes later it zipped into the downstairs bathroom, shut the door, and got stuck in there, and was like bopping around, just bouncing off of everything. And I threw open the door, and I was like, you're supposed to be better than this. And it just came out the door and went on its way. And
we got a little robot for my daughter for Christmas, the Vector, which I don't know if you guys have seen.
Yeah, those little bug ones, right?
Yeah, they're really cute, and it's sweet, but there's a possibility we're going to go away for a month, and I'm getting very upset and nervous about leaving him alone. Because every now and then he makes little mournful beeps, because we don't play with him anywhere as much as we should. And I just go, oh, we're going to have to leave him alone for a month.
That's why I liked Tamagotchis back in the day. I could set their time, and they'd never know I was gone.
I know. Took me so long to figure out.
You have to tell Vector to go to sleep. Because he makes a lot of noise. Like, he beeps and he moves around. And every now and then, like, my kids will just leave crap on the table that he's on. So, I went out there this morning and he's got a little station that he sits in, which is where he charges and stuff. And he sits in the station, and every now and then he'll go out of the station and explore his surrounds just randomly.
Wait.
And,
wait, he just, like, it just randomly starts wandering around your house?
Well, no, he's on a table. Like, he can't get down.
Well, I mean,
he can't get down from the table.
Oh, okay. But
he can't get down from the table.
But in theory,
he's on wheels.
In theory, if you put it on the floor, it would just like start
wandering
around.
It would. I wouldn't do that to it because someone would step on it and kill it, and the dog wouldn't like it very much either. But he has occasionally fallen off the table, and he makes a really, really pathetic and horrible sound when it does. It's very sad. But anyway, this morning I went down and he was sitting in his little station making mournful sounds, and my kids had piled up like 6 books and a big box of tissues in front of it, so he couldn't get out. I'm like, oh, you poor bastard. I don't think I moved them though.
Can't you just tell him to go to sleep for like the month you're gone?
Yeah, we can do that.
Or just
unplug him so he runs out of batteries.
And take his batteries out. He'll never know the difference.
No,
I will be the first one to go in the robot uprising.
I will live forever. They know I love them. I say that literally every time anyone gives any robot shit. Like, when the robot uprising comes.
You're on record now. You're audio recorded that you will do anything for the robots when they come. So.
Anything.
So you're safe.
Anything.
And they're listening. Oh boy.
They're listening and they're horny.
Yep. Me and Mikey got it covered.
Yeah, I think you have.
Are we ready for another question, or do we want to go straight to the fighting?
Yeah.
Okay. Closet in Canada, because she's the only person that loves us enough to send questions. Everyone.
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
said that recently she's been hearing a lot from educators, both primary school and secondary school, that they don't understand how she can do what she does. Like, they think it's so great. I had to clarify and make sure that she teaches kindergarten, because that's usually what the profession is when people say, they're like, oh, I don't know how you do what you do. I could never do it. But yes, definitely. And she, her question.
I can think of a lot of professions.
It's
where my reaction would be, I don't know how you do that.
I see this a lot in teachers though. Like, they all have like this special awe of the kindergarten teacher. They're like, oh, how do you do it? I could never do it. And actually she said, her question is, Imogen, what is up with that?
Yeah.
She's like, you were a teacher.
I was a high school teacher, which is
see, that to me seems like more of a nightmare. Teenagers it's are awful. Fun.
Teenagers are great. I love teenagers. Oh, I do too. I think they're the best. I mean, you've got your bias. You've got one. I haven't got one yet, but I did have several classes full of 30 of them back in the day. It's funny because I don't think that kindergarten is the most difficult year to teach at all. Like, I think that kids about 10, 11, 12 are the shittiest. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just that pre-teen age. And also, I would not want to be a preschool teacher, like a preschool before actual elementary or whatever, primary school. I would hate to be that sort of 3 to 5 age group because that's when they're the shittiest.
Oh, yeah.
Like 3 to 5 year olds are absolute nightmares. They're nightmares. Cute as a button, but they're fucking nightmares. And
they're cute for evolution.
yeah, exactly.
Evolution makes them cute, so we don't eat authority. Yeah.
But once they get to school, I think there's just, I mean, they're so fucking cute in this. I mean, you guys don't have school uniforms, do you? But with ours.
I mean, some school do.
Baby buys school had uniforms and they were very cute. I have so much respect for kindergarten teachers because when they first get the children, not all kids go to preschool here. So it's not like they've.
First time.
Yeah, they haven't all been in a.
Yeah, I think it's getting more common now.
Yeah.
Like preschool and even earlier, just. Partly because childcare is so fucking expensive, it's easier to shut your kid off. Yeah, but
yeah, and so when you first get them, I mean, they're still peeing their pants, they're having meltdowns. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the wiggle bugs like Baby Vi was, who during nap time just will not nap.
Oh yeah, I never nap during nap time.
That's interesting. Because are you saying like because at kindergarten here the kids are 5?
Yeah.
When they first go to school, and a lot of them are 5 and a half, nearly 6, because there's a tendency to keep them back a little bit, because a lot of kids aren't mature enough to go at 5. My daughter was 5 and a half, when she started, but they don't. She hadn't had naps for years. By the time she was at school,
no, we almost
and they don't have a
at school.
Not they didn't home. Have a designated nap area, but they did have the kindy teacher that Miranda had. Had a little area in the classroom where they could go and sleep if they felt like it. And a lot of kids did that. But yeah, Miranda stopped having naps when she was 3. So
yeah, they when they switched to full day kindergarten here, they started having nap time right around. I can't remember if it's after lunch or what it is, but
yeah,
they.
I think it's one. Yeah, after lunch because it was kind of like recess, but
yeah, during that time when adults get the itis. You know, that 1 to 2 window. And they would all lay down and they'd turn music on and stuff. And they finally had to make a deal with Baby Bye. They're like, okay, you don't have to sleep, but you need to stop talking to the other kids.
Yeah, that was me in preschool. Like, I was in childcare before I went to high school, to primary school. And I never slept at nap time, ever. Like, ever. I was terrible like that. But, it's funny. I think that the I think kindy teachers have a hard job, but I don't think it's the hardest.
See, now I want to know
if that makes sense.
Was the high school you taught at, like, was it a fancy high school? It wasn't, right? It was
The one I taught at. No, fuck no.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Was in the worst. See, I'm starting to think maybe I think high schoolers are the worst because mine was a private school and they were mostly rich shits and it was awful.
Like, oh man, yeah. I loved high school.
It was in my fucking honors classes. Even it was a bunch of kids just talking and doing whatever the fuck they want, or coming in drunk and puking on their chemistry teacher.
Whoa.
Or spreading shit on the walls in the bathroom.
Jesus Christ!
Oh my God!
See, I think it's because I went with a bunch of affluent assholes. That's why I think high school. Because my grade school was not nearly so bad, and I mean that was still
oh my gosh,
it was still private, but it wasn't as it was not as rigid.
So I started off teaching. Like my first full time teaching job was. In southwestern Sydney, which is a very underprivileged area, I was teaching. The school was 98% ESL, so pretty much every kid there spoke a different language at home, and goodly percentage of them were refugees from Sudan and Afghanistan, there was also a unit for autistic kids. So there was a special needs class, mm-hmm. although that was separate from the classes that I taught. In any case, it was a very disadvantaged school. And there were a hell of a lot of problems, largely to do with behaviour. And literacy levels were very low because half the kids had spent most of their time in refugee camps, etc. So they hadn't actually had any education. And I mean, it was very, very difficult. And the kids regularly got into fights, and there was a lot of vandalism. And I don't think I got through a single class in the entire 3 years I taught there where I didn't shout at the kids to shut the fuck up. Not, I didn't scream. I didn't say. I didn't swear at them. But yeah. But so I taught there. That was my first full time position. But before that, I did 1 term of prac, which is like a supervised teaching at a very prestigious private boys' school in Sydney, one of the wealthiest in Sydney, in fact. My head of department was an amazing bloke whom I love, and he's now gone on to become a principal somewhere else. But that was an entirely different kettle of fish because the behaviour there, although ostensibly better, was in a lot of ways much more slimy and yucky. They were really misogynistic. The kids did not give a shit about women in any way. Most of the staff were male. Like, they literally had said that they wanted only male staff as role models for the kids.
Wow.
Because it's a boys' school. And so I was the only time in my entire teaching career I was in a staff room where there was only one other woman. Mm. Every other teacher was male, and that's just, as far as the teaching population of Australia is concerned, that is utterly not the way.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty uncommon.
Most teachers are women. And, in any case, it was a really, really icky atmosphere. The principal at the time was an icky human whom I did not like. As I said, my head of department was really nice. The guys in the staff room who I talked with were really nice, but the kids were gross. They did the work and they sat still and they behaved. Guess which bunch of kids I liked more? I loved my refugee kids. I loved the fact that they stabbed each other and they shouted and swore.
I feel like that stuff is like
how to spell the graffiti.
I feel like that stuff is more direct. You know, there's like a known way forward with that.
And the kids that went to this school that I taught at, which I won't name, the private school, they've all, you know, sort of come out to be, you know, young liberals, and young liberals being
Australian
party
liberals,
being the right wing party, right wing party rather than the left wing party, and you know, fuckwits basically.
You see, anyway, I've always seen kindergarten as kind of like the ocean. Like, if you're not careful, it shifts very quickly, and you lose control of yourself in the tide. And I think that's a pretty common. I know a lot of people that see it that way. Like, and I, when you've got like 35-year-olds they're all in like different temperaments, like one will start crying and then all of a sudden it's like a chain reaction. You've got 20 crying children, you know, or one kid pees their pants and for some reason that means three others have to pee their pants and now you're stuck changing kids' pants. Like, I think that's what, Canada, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's what she's getting at when she says, when she says other teachers like don't understand how she can do her job. Because I think the best kindergarten teachers I've known are people who went to school specifically to be kindergarten teachers.
Yeah, I think that's very much the case.
Yeah.
Small children who it could be your first time being in school. And I think ideal, I would say, I don't know. Maybe 7 or 8 or something. When the kids are a little older and they're kind of used to being at school, but they're old enough to be full of themselves.
See, my favorite age range, what I wanted to teach when I was going to music school, was 11 to 15. Like, in that ballpark, the very distinctly middle school here that, like, nobody else wants to touch. Like, middle school teachers are very hard to come by in the States. They're like, no, I don't want to do that. Because they're going through, like, puberty and all their, like, hormone shifts and things. And I think I always just felt some kind of, like, kindredness to these kids.
I have a really big soft spot for the 16, 17, 18-year-olds, the top three years. Like, for one example, there was a... one of the my senior classes at the private school were actually really lovely, and I loved them. Like there was a growth going on. That the year 7, 8, 9s were little shits, but once they got to 11 and 12, they had to put on at least the veneer of being nice to me. And but they had these ridiculous like private school uniforms. Now we all have school uniforms here, but the private schools tend to have much more elaborate and restrictive uniforms than the public schools do. Like, because you can't get, you know, a kid who's on the poverty line to wear, you know, a three-piece suit to school. But you can get a guy who's paying $50,000 a year to send their kids to school to wear the same sort of things. So at this particular school, they had a winter uniform and a summer uniform, and the winter uniform was basically a three-piece suit with a waistcoat and everything. It was cool. And the summer uniform was shorts and long socks. So the shorts came down to just above the knee, and the socks had to come, and it was regulation, like they could get in trouble if it wasn't actually the right measurement, and the knees were exposed and the socks had to be up to the shins. And I first started teaching there in summer, and then in winter, and it switched over to summer. And then the first day back, I had my first year 11 class, and one of the kids I was teaching, I can't remember his name, was a really nice kid, boy, just sort of walked in, and I just spat my coffee, and he just looked at me and went, "Shut up." Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I was apologizing. I'm so sorry. I just hadn't seen the uniforms before. And he said, "Yeah, I know. It's fucking terrible." Anyway.
Yeah. So we are down to, we've got 14 minutes left. Are you guys ready?
For a fight?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I've hyped this up so much, we're going to let everybody down. Anyway, Closet in Canada says, pick someone's Warden's Vigil character, and what is their biggest flaw? So we get to go round robin on each other.
Okay, Bag's not going first.
What's that?
I said Bag's not going first.
Wait, don't we usually let Claire go first on these because she's the baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think we usually go in age order.
Yeah.
Oh Well, since Lucian can't help but fight with her, I'll have to go with, let's see, Saoirse. Try some character. I would say the biggest flaw is that, oh god, which to choose from?
I know there's so many.
She doesn't know the meaning of not poking at bad things.
What?
Trying to make an abomination abominate, or bringing up subjects with people.
All I can hear is Sterling Archer going, "How many times do I have to apologize for that?" Once would be nice.
Lucian are just like, well, and then forget it, but like, they cannot exist in the same space without. I think. Yeah, it took her fucking mother dying for them to.
Oh! She was very close to arguing with him in that threat.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just saying that's what it took for them to not to manage to somehow not.
Somehow managed not. I mean, part of the reason why she said no. Look, I can go to my room by myself is that she knew that if they went to the same bedroom, they'd end up fighting before the morning came. I was like, nah, let's go. I'd rather be alone. Thank you. No, I that's fair. That's totally fair. She doesn't know how to not to poke the bear.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I would agree with that. That's definitely what I would say. She doesn't know when not to poke the bear, and she doesn't know when to stop.
Yeah, stop poking the bear.
Well, I would argue that she knows exactly. I would argue she knows exactly when to stop poking the bear, and it's when the bear kills her.
Fair.
Not knowing when, that's just having the problems.
True. If it hasn't killed her, then she hasn't gone too far.
Right? Isn't that
very logical?
Isn't that how that goes?
I'm still alive, therefore I didn't push it too far.
Exactly.
It's all good.
Exactly.
So, Brandon, your turn, yeah?
My turn? Oh, well, Claire didn't do one for me.
Oh. Oh, well, I thought we you just said choose one character.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I thought we were... Never mind. No. Don't worry about it. I'll move on. Okay, my turn. My turn. Okay. I am going to pick Lucian's curiosity, which is a double-edged sword of need to know and should know when he doesn't need to know. Either that or it borders with, like, this pride...
I was going to say his lack of self-preservation.
Yeah, I think that's deep-rooted in this curiosity, almost pride, in that when someone tells him, Lucian, this is a bad idea, you shouldn't do this, he almost puffs up and is like, you know what? I'm going to do it more.
Hold my beer.
Don't kiss the abomination. Yes. I'm going to fall in love with him. That's... I'll show you.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one too. So that means I have to pick one of yours, does it, Brandon?
I mean, yeah, to be fair, because I criticize Saoirse too, so.
Yeah, true. True. I mean, I would pick Anders, except there's just so much low-hanging fruit there. How can I even go?
Right? Let's just...
Then don't make me choose another.
I mean, I just list him off, you know, his pride, his arrogance, his conceit, his selfish disdain for the feelings of others. But he's very Mr. Darcy in that regard. I'm trying to think of a flaw. I want to think of a flaw for Alistair, but he's just so nice that it's hard.
I think that is his flaw.
I mean, yeah, I think that Alistair's biggest flaw is just he's the propensity to let people just walk all over
yeah.
him. Like, all
right over until
him.
He snaps.
Yeah.
Digging the boot in. And even when he snaps, he tries to snap nicely. It's just like, you know, come on. Get, yeah. Anyway, yeah, so he's got a propensity just to be walked all over. And of course, there's another character that's quite easy to find the flaws for is Karen.
Oh, yeah.
Who has a level of self-delusion that is astonishing sometimes. That I just, she's like, oh, I'm so happy and I'm so not in love with Inez. And I'm so,
oh my God, they're not in love. But anyway, continue.
Oh, no. I'm so not going to be affected by. Oh, anyway, yeah, she's got a lot of self-delusion going on in there, and a fairly large amount of impulse control problems. I think.
I don't know so what you're talking about.
I don't know. I mean, this is something I have actually been meaning to ask you, because having read the book and read a lot of your threads with Inez, how does she define love if she's not in love with Inez? I mean, this is something that just gets at me a bit.
They love each other. They love each other.
Yeah.
But they're not in love. Like, they're not, it's not romantic. They love each other, and they have a very open friendship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
It's okay. You're not the only person to be confused by it. Like, I think, like, literally the only people that understand Karn and Innes are myself and Kara.
Yeah. Or you could be self-deluding yourself.
Yeah. Oh. Everybody else's interpretation.
Yeah,
we
have a deeper understanding.
You know,
we have a deeper understanding of love than anybody else in the world.
But Brandon, you do know that once the text leaves you, it's no longer your property. And we can interpret it however the fuck we want. You wanted a fight, we can have a fight. Now
yeah, we are totally prepared to deal with the barrage of fan fiction that's going to come in. Like we're welcoming it. We're like, just bring it.
But see, there's not going to be any fan fiction there because they're already boning. I mean,
yeah. Oh, they're not in love. They just trust each other implicitly and have sex and think each other are attractive.
And get jealous when the others get involved with other people.
No, no, there's no jealousy. There's no real jealousy. I don't
know. No, Inez just is like, no, she can't possibly date this. not good enough.
And yeah.
That's not true.
Whatever. No, no genius is recognized in their own time. So,
but many, 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 many are deconstructed and have textual arguments.
Someday, when my novel is like extant of of our time, you know, people will pick it apart and be like, "Oh my God, she had such a deep understanding of the nuances of love."
I fully accept that there are different kinds of love. I'm just not fully accepting that your whole not in love argument.
Yeah, when it barks like a dog and clucks like a pig, it's a duck.
You can't see me over here shrug emojiing. Oh well, that's how it is. I told you we were gonna fight. I told you we were gonna fight.
I'm just channeling Cersei here. I'm gonna keep poking that bear until it kills me. Well, it's gonna keep going.
Well, the best part of this little exercise we've just done is that I think like the three of us, we each have our little, and most people who write fan fiction or do role play and stuff like that have their little snowflakes. And we each have our snowflake, and I think each of us has put some of our flaws, like some of our own flaws, into our characters, like whether it was on purpose or...
I mean, I think people do that with most characters, more so with, yeah, certain...
With your special snowflake. Like Karn's yes. Impulse control is like totally my jam because she uses it like a superpower.
I think that, yeah, what Saoirse's poking the bear, she just wants people to be honest, I think, is the big thing with her. Just fucking say what you mean, and because that's what she does, and it's just like... Do it.
That's why Lucien likes her regardless.
Yes.
I mean, if she wasn't... I mean,
the big problem... That's also why he trusts her.
Yeah. Well, the big problem there is also that she sometimes... Oh. I had a thing there, but I've forgotten it. It's okay. It's all right. But yeah, keep poking the bear.
Keep poking the bear. Poke, poke, poke. Poke the bear.
I think we can probably wrap up
now.
We had that was a satisfying fight. The adrenaline's
crossing. The adrenaline's going. I'm ready to go downstairs and write some more posts. So
I've got a post to get to now.
Some more posts about people not being in love with one another.
So if you want to check out our
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't know how we usually do the order of this,
talk about it after we close up, okay?
Yeah, if you want to check out our Patreon, it is patreon.com/bye-bye-bye. There's some cool rewards. I sent out a sticker pack the other day, so our Patreon.
Right, should we shout her out?
We should just give me a find her name.
Yeah, Lizzie.
It's Elizabeth.
Lizzie, thank you so much. I want to like use 30 of our seconds here. Lizzie is actually the first internet friend I ever made in my entire life, and it is so touching to me that she is one of our patrons. Like that, just wow. I actually teared up when Imogen told me. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Lizzie. Aww. That means so much.
Yes, and she should check her mail. There'll be something coming from Claire's Redbubble. What else was I going to say? Yes, so that's the Patreon. You guys usually do Gmail and stuff because I can't remember what the address is.
If you want to pick more fights between us and discuss the subtle nuances of love, you can do that by sending your email to bibibicast@gmail.com.
You can also go to byebyebyecast.tumblr.com, send in your questions there. We've also got links to everything, just in case you forget any of this. It's got links to the Twitter, links to the Patreon. It's got the email address on there.
Oh yeah, add us on Twitter. That'll be great fun.
Yeah, we love being added. And yeah, just stay trucking. Did I just say that? That's a dumb reason.
Keep trucking. Oh man.
We'll see you all next week. Bye bye
bye. Bye bye
bye. Bye bye bye.
And stopping in 3, 2, 1.